All right, turn to the 10th chapter, if you would, of the book of Proverbs. We'll continue our study of this great, great, great chapter as we continue with verses 20 and 21. 20 and 21 of the 10th chapter of the book of Proverbs. The tongue. Now notice that word tongue. Here we are again. My, how the book of Proverbs talk about the tongue. Talks about the lips. Talks about speech. Must be an important subject to God, because he says the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Now, when I read this, in comparison to what we have studied last week, that word dichotomy came to mind, which means a division into two exclusive, opposed, or contradictory groups. Now remember that Proverbs 10:19 cautioned us in the use of a multitude of words, for in the use of a multitude of words, many opportunities for sin occurs. We were told that the person who refrains his lips is wise. In other words, we were told in a gentle way at times to put a sock in it. Last week I said cork, but the saying is put a sock in it. You know, sometimes you need to do that your own mouth, and sometimes you wish that you could do that with other mouths, don't you? Oh, that multitude of words that just doesn't seem, it's kind of like the Niagara Falls of words. But in our proverb for today, we are told to take the sock out, for there is given great value to the tongue of the just and great value to the lips of the righteous. So we have a dichotomy. One verse tells us to close it, and another verse tells us to open it. Now, of course, the thing that causes this is the fact that Solomon, in our proverb for today, is talking about the tongue and the lips of particular men and women. And these men and women are called just and righteous. So there is a change, we see, in the use of the mouth when a person is transferred from the family of the unjust to the family of the just. Now, the family of the unjust tends to be mouthy, using words as if they were common and base. But the family of the just uses words as if they were rare and valuable treasure. There's the difference. Now, the example that we know of as the most valuable word, of course, is our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the Word of God. You see in that description how much God values word, for his Son, Jesus Christ, is the Word. So word is valued by God. Word is not to be wasted. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, pictures these treasured words like apples of gold in pictures of silver. They are as an honeycomb sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Now, this change does not happen overnight. Going from the family of the unjust to the family of the just does not change the mouth overnight. For one thing remains, and that is the tongue and the lips remain in a body with a sin nature. Now, I guess I could compare the life of the just and a righteous person in this life to the action of a pendulum. Have you ever thought about your life as a pendulum? I brought a plumb bob with to describe a pendulum. Now, this is also a pendulum, but its primary purpose is a plumb bob. Now, that word plumb has its derivation from plunge. When I drop this, this will plunge straight down. Now, that is a plumb bob. But if I do this, it becomes a pendulum. Now, the pendulum swings both to the right and to the left. Both positions, the right and the left. Are you getting hypnotized? All right, I'll stop. I don't want to hypnotize student body, so I'm going to put my plumb bob up. You know, all plumb bobs are good tools because they always work. They never fail you. But it was demonstrated that that pendulum swings from left to right through a resting position, and in that circuit, the pendulum is at the right once and at the left one time, and then it travels through at resting position called the equilibrium position one time. Now, the equilibrium position is the position of the pendulum when it eventually comes to rest. It comes to rest, and in that place, it's a plumb bob. But you can see it's always going back and forth. But that equilibrium position is the only position that survives, for the pendulum, when it's stopped, no longer travels to the right or to the left. Now, as long as I am in this body, and I don't intend to stay in this body forever, amen? I'm getting to be rid of it soon. It's failing me, and so is your body. Every wrinkle declares, I'm failing you. And then it starts talking, I'm failing you. You know, I'm failing you. You can hardly hear. But that's the way it is. But as long as we are in this body of sin, we are like the moving pendulum. But when we give up this body of sin and we get our new bodies, we will be at the equilibrium position. There will be no right or left positions, but only the righteous position. There will be no Fox News. There will be no MSNBC. No left, no right. Only the equilibrium position will survive. Now, Christian growth is supposed to reduce the amplitude of the swing of the pendulum. Here is the unjust swinging way back and forth. But as you are saved and grow in the Lord, that amplitude should be small, approaching the equilibrium position. When we are saved and do not know much, our mouth may engage in a multitude of words, common words, base words, many words. The pendulum swings wide. But as we learn of Christ and his word, that amplitude should decrease, so it is small and always near that equilibrium position, for that is where we are headed. Now, one thing I know about this life is that it is to be a preparation for the next. God is conforming you to his Son, so that when you get to heaven, you'll be conformed to his Son. It won't be a surprise. He's working on you today. God saves us, and he wastes no time in starting us on the path of conformance to the image of his Son, and that conformance is heavy on what words come forth from your mouth. Now, men and women enter the military, and when they enter the military wastes no time in bringing them into conformance to the particular service that they enter. Take a look at the Marines. After the first day, every Marine recruit looks like every other Marine recruit, for the Marines at this point desire no distinction. A bald head with the same stylish green outfit adorns every one of them. You can't tell one from the other. The Marines tear down in order to build up. Now, that is the pattern of all growth. If you redo your house, and the first thing you do is to demolish what you have in order to replace it, so that it will look like the image that you have impressed in your mind. Isn't that true? Now, this pattern is followed in the Marines as to the use of the mouth. For prior to the demolition, the mouth emitted all kinds of words. But when the buildup comes in the Marine, all of a sudden the mouth is emitting, "Yes, sir," "No, sir," and "I don't know, sir." That's what the mouth emits after the buildup comes. In other words, an undisciplined mouth is now a disciplined mouth. It is not a silent mouth, but it is a mouth that commands, a mouth that is useful to the Marines, a mouth that others respect and obey. It is a trained mouth to meet the purposes of this military organization. Now, that is what God is doing to your mouth. It is becoming a trained mouth. With the new birth that accompanies salvation, old things are passed away, and all things are become new. You have joined the family of the righteous, for you are now in Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, as far as God is concerned, at the new birth, all is accomplished. All have become new. But in a practical sense, it takes a lifetime to get even near that accomplishment. So as does the military in bringing a person into its favor, so does God with his children. He tells them at times to refrain their lips, and he tells them at times to speak so that they may feed many. Now, Solomon in Ecclesiastes 3:7 said there was a time to keep silence and a time to speak. You know, that's what Christian growth is all about. Well, not all about, but a good bit about. Proper timing. When is it time to speak, and when is it time not to speak? Jesus was questioned by Pontius Pilate, but he answered him not. It was a time to keep silent and not give that which was holy to the dogs, a time to not cast his pearls before swine. Jesus chose to not reprove a scorner, and he kept silent. You know, our Savior had the perfect discipline as to his speech, for he knows when to speak and when to keep silent. Now, there is no value in silence when speaking is called for, nor is there value in speaking when silence is called for. The key to knowing when to speak and when to keep silent is knowing the wisdom of God. For God only uses words that will not return unto him void. Isn't that the principle of Scripture? He only uses words that will not return unto him void. Isaiah 55:11 tells us this, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." What a principle that God passes along to us. In other words, words are to accomplish something for God. Remember, the psalmist says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word does a job for me. It provides me a safe path. God's word protects my feet from loss. Oh, I hate to stub my toe in the nighttime, but I turn on the light and that doesn't happen. So God protects my feet from loss. And in like manner, our words ought to accomplish something. They ought to feed many. They ought to be as choice silver. They are to be disciplined words meant to bring forth fruit. The Word of God came into this world to seek and to save the lost. You see how God works with words? Doesn't waste words. Uses words to accomplish a task. God's word, when heeded, will cleanse a young man's way. It will keep him from sinning. It will strengthen and comfort him. It will give him understanding. It will keep him from going astray. It will give him hope and joy, and it will order his steps. You know, so many times in the home today, there are so many wasted words in the rearing of children. But you know, you are, as a parent, are obligated to bring words into the life of a child so that when they do grow up, they remember mama's words. They remember daddy's words. Well, we don't do that in this family. We walk this way in this family. In other words, those words do a task in the life of the child. We're not to waste words. So this is the pattern in what God follows for his children. Our speech is to be based upon this pattern. So the wisdom of refraining our lips is to be connected with our heading toward this pattern. You shut up. I'm heading toward this pattern. You speak. I'm heading toward this pattern, where my words are to accomplish something. Now, our conversation then is to be useful. It is to be very precious, not only like silver, we're told in this scripture, but choice silver. Now, choice silver is pure silver, which has gone deeply into the refining fires of the smelter in order to rid the dross from the silver. Our tongues are to be refined by the fire of God's word. They're to be released from vanity. They're to be released from hostility. They're to be released from every falsehood and lie in order to speak words that will build instead of destroy. You know, the devil is a destroyer, and those of the devil are destroyers. But Jesus Christ is a builder. And he builds with words, for he spoke the worlds into existence. by his word. Now remember the building words he gave to the disciples on the road to Emmaus and their response when they said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Now this is the pattern of how words are to be used. They are to be used to build up. We're told that a wise woman buildeth her house, and much of that building is to be with her words. Wouldn't we have loved to be on the road to Emmaus and have our hearts burn within us while we listen to the Master's words? But the reality is that every day we open the scriptures, we can be on that road, for God talks to us on the wayside. Every day we dedicate our ears to him. You know, our hearts ought to be burning by the words of the Lord. Now, the man or woman who has deposited God's word and God's wisdom in his or her heart is that person who can make withdrawals of endless treasure to freely impart to every listener. It is the kind of treasure of conversation that will bring the heart to burn for more. It will produce the ear that desires to listen and learn and grow. For the conversation of the wise and righteous man is valuable, and that value far surpasses that of diamonds, silver, and gold. Oh, how the world values the wrong thing. The world values diamonds, silver, and gold. But God tells us that words are more valuable than that. The tongue of the just is choice silver, but the heart is even richer in value, for it is from the heart that he brings forth good treasure to the tongue. In contrast to the heart of the just, Solomon brings forth for our scrutiny the value of the heart of the wicked, for he says the heart of the wicked is little worth. Now the basis of the heart of the wicked is sin. For the wicked is a sinner. The wicked is lost, undone. The wicked is chained to a heart that cannot know God on its own, a heart that is devoid of God's word, a heart that does not know Jesus Christ. If the wicked speak anything resembling good, it is copying those who know God. It is simply silver plate. It is that whited sepulcher that the Pharisees so love to paint. The Pharisees so love to paint and repaint, for that is what self-righteousness requires. You know, it requires constant maintenance to maintain self-righteousness. Now, knowing this, we are not to lend our ears to the mouth of the wicked, but we are to covet the lips of the righteous, for the lips of the righteous feed many. This is to whom we are to give our ears, to the righteous, to those that can feed us, to those that can build us up. So now we are getting down to where the rubber meets the road, for now we are talking about food. Now we all desire to be around food. Our kitchen is the place where most of the activity takes place. Why is it? Because we love one another? No, because we love food. It's nice to be around food. But the last part of Proverbs 10:21 tells us of what food comes from the lips of the righteous. For we are told in contrast that fools die for lack of wisdom. So the food that is being placed on the table from the lips of the righteous is wisdom. Wisdom's cookbook is God's holy book. Wisdom comes in all delightful tastes and smells from that book. Wisdom's cookbook is full of appetizers, entrees, desserts, and thirst quenchers. It is much more than a seven-course meal. Have you ever had a seven-course meal? Now, I've had one seven-course meal, I think, in my life, and it was a long time ago. Everything in my life's a long time ago now. But my wife and I were young things in Japan serving in the Navy, and my mother came over to visit us, and she said, let's go on a tour. So we said, okay, you're paying, right? And she said, yeah, well, I'm paying. You know, you always go on a tour if somebody else is paying. But she took us to the Hotel Fujiyama, right at the base of Mount Fuji. You know, Mount Fuji is that perfect-looking volcano in Japan. It's pretty much worshipped there, but we were at the Mount Fujiyama Hotel. And we were served a seven-course meal. Oh, what a meal it was. I remember it. And I remember one of the things that I remember most about that meal was the waiter coming with the pitcher. And the glass was on the table, and he would start the water at the glass, and he would pull the pitcher 3 or 4 feet high without spilling a drop. Have you ever done that? Oh, what a flair he had for filling that water. Didn't spill a drop. Then the courses started to come. First, we had the appetizer. Then we had the soup. Then we had the salad. Then we had the sorbet. Have you ever had sorbet? Sorbet is kind of like a sherbet. But that was one of the courses. And it's designed to cleanse the palate. You've got tastes in there that you don't want to mix with the entree. So it's a mouth cleaner. And then you're ready for the fifth course, the poultry. Then the sixth course, the red meat or fish. And finally, the piece de resistance. That's French, of course. The dessert. We love the dessert. That's a seven-course meal. Now, you would think that eating such a meal would do you in. They'd have to carry you out. But it did not happen that way, for all the courses were timed to come with space between them, and also each course was of a reasonable size. That was a seven-course meal that we can get to satisfy the flesh. But God's cookbook provides much more than a seven-course meal. God tells us to eat of this book freely. You know, such language he uses. Jesus said it about himself. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, you see, God tells us to eat of this book freely. God tells us to open our mouths wide and he will fill it. And if you allow God to fill it, your lips then can become that which feeds others. You see how God works? God wants you to be like him. He feeds you, you feed others. But it all starts with having yielded lips. Lips that desire wisdom from God's word so that speech can be useful and accomplish God's will. Now, our Proverb 21 ends with this note, but fools die for want of wisdom. Oh, how this is in the world. You see these poor folk that just seem to make all the wrong decisions. You know, you've got relatives like that. Perhaps you did that before you were saved. But just one thing after another, making wrong decisions, and sometimes we judge them. How can we judge them? They have no wisdom. They have no new heart. But fools die for want of wisdom. In other words, fools do not have a heart for wisdom. A fool despises the lips that would feed him. And without the feeding of wisdom, death is sure, for spiritual starvation is certain. You know, one thing when you read this Proverbs, you remember that wisdom is life. For Jesus Christ is wisdom personified. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is wisdom. Know him, and your lips will feed many. Father, we're so thankful that you give us your precious, your holy word. Help us, Lord, to have mouths that are disciplined mouths, that speak words that build rather than destroy, words that edify, words that feed many, words that are your words rather than the words of this world, which are coarse and base and only provide starvation and death. Guide us, Lord, as we go to our service. May the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up, and we ask it in his holy name. Amen.